I wonder if we're in the Bible tonight. We are. We're reviewing. And this is the last discussion of Proverbs. I'm going to do something tonight I've not done in all of my ministry. I don't know how it'll work out. I'm not even going to read a scripture tonight. I'm going to be using truths from scriptures that we have studied now for 7 or 8 months in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to ask some questions to the young people and have them answer the questions. Now, I'm going to be calling some of you to the pulpit and asking you. This is the final examination. And let's see how much you've learned. The first thing, you know, it won't do you any good. It's too late to cram now. But we've been discussing things in the book of Proverbs about character and what kind of young people they ought to be. And the first question is, what are you supposed to do while the preacher's talking? Listen, that's right, and not talk. You got the first one right. That was one ad lib. Now then, who'd like to answer the first question and get it over with? Just raise your hand and then come on up here. Okay, Barbara, since you're not voting, you come on up, please. And we're going to ask some questions tonight. And the first question is, Barbara, you really want something and are pretty sure you can pay it out if you pinch your pennies. What should you do about it? You really want it badly and you're pretty sure you can pay it out if you pinch your pennies. What should you do?
I think if I can pay for it, that I should pay for it in cash and not charge it.
I see. That's a good start. Boy, she's worse than I am. I have to pay mine out. All right. That's a good thought. It's a good idea not to charge it. But what if you really pinch your pennies and you're pretty sure? I mean, you're not for dead sure, but you're pretty sure you can pay it out. Would it be okay to buy it on credit?
Would it be okay to buy it on credit?
Yeah, if you're pretty sure you pay it out, you're not real sure, but you're pretty sure.
Well, if you had almost all the money and you were going to spend it all on one thing, it wouldn't be good because you might have something else come up that you'd need the money for.
Well, I said, what if you knew you could pay it out? Would it be all right?
If you knew you had enough money?
Yeah. Oh, the awful thought of it.
I think...
If you can see your way clear and you know you can pay it out, is it okay to pay it out?
It almost depends on what you're buying. Some things you should
buy. I see. Well, something real necessary, like a new hat, a lady's hat.
Oh, my.
Okay, thank you. That's pretty good. Would you like to add to that, anybody? Suppose you really want something, and you see that if you pinch your pennies, you might could pay it out. How many think you ought to buy it? It's okay to buy it. All the ladies raise their hand. How many think that and of course this is what we've been discussing now, it's in the Proverbs, so don't think we're leaving the Bible, we're in the Scripture, on Scripture grounds. How many think that if you can, something you really want, and Mrs. Canavan raised her hand, if it's not Avon product, and you're pretty sure you can pay it out, you're almost sure, how many think you shouldn't buy it? Raise your hand. I agree with you. You shouldn't do it. What should you do? Suppose you know you can pay for it. Is that okay to buy it on credit? Yes, if you know you can, but be sure you know you can. The idea is, be sure that if you obligate yourself for anything, whether it's financially or any reason, be sure that you can meet that obligation. What's the first question I ask you now? All right. So if you can meet the obligation, say it. If you do not know that you can meet it, do not buy it on credit. I need a boy to answer a question. Who would like to answer it? Okay, give me the first boy right here in the center. Yeah, me, that's right. Come on. You think you're going to get by because you're backslidden out here in the audience. You've got another thing coming. You're going to be up here, too. Okay, now the question is, and find your payment will be a day late. You owe a payment, suppose on the first of the month, and you find that you cannot pay it the first of the month, you can't pay it to the second. What do you think you ought to do?
Go over and tell him that I can't pay it until the next day.
Exactly right. Thank you. You made 100. Isn't that fine? What you do? If you can't pay the debt on the first of the month, but you're going to pay it on the second, you should do what? You should go to the man to whom you owe the money and explain to him you cannot pay it on time. Well, you say, just a day? You're not as late. Let's put it this way. You're not as much late if you're a day late as you are if you're a month late, but you're just as much late. You see what I mean? You're late. Either way, you're late. You say, well, for one day. Okay, then one day, two is just one more than one, and three is just one more than two, and four is just one more than three. Where are you going to stop? The time to stop is if you're a day late. If you cannot pay a debt, you get that? If you cannot pay a debt on the day it's due, you do what? You go to the fella and you tell him that you're sorry, you cannot meet your obligation exactly on time, and that you'll make the payment the next day. All right, number three. Mr. Bear, come on up here. While I'm reading this one off, come on. Don't hesitate. Come on up here. Atta boy. It'd have been a shorter trip. You'd have been in the choir, but since you're not in the choir, sliding down the seat won't help a bit. All right. Number four. I skipped number five. Number four was a boy who's not a Christian asked you for a date. That wouldn't fit you, would it? Number five. Here it is. You feel you deserve a promotion, yet the boss doesn't seem to notice the job you're doing and the answers aren't on here. Reader's Digest this week about, said that the answer sheet got mixed up with the test papers, and the answer sheet only made a B after the teacher got through grading it. And, you don't get that B. All right. You feel you deserve a promotion, yet the boss doesn't seem to notice the job you're doing. What do you think you ought to do about it? You think you ought to tell the boss what a good job you're doing, or tell him what a fine fellow you are? What do you think you ought to do about it?
You feel like you deserve it.
Yeah, you think you deserve a promotion, but the boss doesn't even notice what you're doing. What I'm trying to say, do you think you ought to go to the boss and tell him? Do you think you ought to just work real hard and let the Lord take care of it?
I don't think you should tell him.
You don't think you should tell him? You think you should do anything to try to boost yourself? Or?
Well, I think you should continue to do your job
well. I think that's right. I think that a job well done will pay for itself, don't you? All right, fine. You can go back to the choir now. And, okay. I think right. Now, we learned that, remember? It said you shouldn't go before the king. You may end up worse off than you were when you started out. You recall that? One of the verses we learned. And suppose the fellow gets promotion that's... next to you in the shop, you think he shouldn't have gotten it. You just go ahead. Listen. You keep doing right, and it'll pay off in the long run. It may not today, but it will in the long run. I need a girl. And the second girl, right here. Okay. Suppose you know something bad about someone, and someone asks you if it's true. Suppose you know something real bad about somebody, and someone comes up and says, Gail, I heard so-and-so about so-and-so, and I want to know, do you know anything about that? And suppose that you don't think bad about him, and someone asks you if it's true. Let me reword that. Suppose you've heard something bad about somebody, and someone asks you if what they've heard is true.
I would say that I didn't know for sure that I had no position... I was not in a position to judge that person.
Exactly right. If you do not know that it's true, you have no need to tell it. In fact, if you know it's true, there's no need to tell it, is there? We should not speak evil of someone, even if we know it's true. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me ask you another question along that line. Suppose somebody writes you a letter and says that the Sears Roebuck Company is thinking about employing this person, and would you give it be a character reference and let us know if you'd recommend them? Then should you tell them?
Well, if it were something that would depend upon how well that person would do the job, then you should tell them.
Yes, you should. Very good. Okay, fine. You're nervous, but you did a good job. All right, fine. Okay, that means if you know something bad about someone, you don't always have to tell it. In fact, it's best not to tell it unless you have to tell it to keep their weakness from hurting someone else, you see. Okay, let's see. I need another girl. We'll start right over here on this end. Okay. This is the final examination. We're going to go 8 months over again if you don't know the answers. All right? A boy who is not a Christian asks you for a date.
What should I do?
I don't know. I asked you that. I've been telling you what to do for 8 months. If you don't know what I think about it, you'll never know. What should you do? A boy who is not a Christian asks you for a date.
I should tell him in the nicest way that I'm a Christian. And that I don't believe in going out with unsafe kids because even though you're just going out with them, you never know what it's going to bring up.
Sure, he's practically asked you to marry him, hasn't he? What you're saying is you should not go on the date.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You should not go with an unsaved boy. You plan to practice that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very fine. All right, good. Give her about a 94 on that, Brother Perry. Okay? Debbie? They're coming from the north, east, the south, and the west. Just checking to see where all the people are tonight, all over the audience. Brother Ralph, don't you think you're immune? You'll be up here in a minute. Brother Ralph, this is yours. Suppose the deacon makes a motion the pastor should get a raise. What do you think? Hey, all right, good. Okay, fine. Give him 100 on that, would you please? All right, Debbie. Here it is. Suppose someone tells you something bad about a friend. What would you say? Someone told you something bad about a friend of yours.
They've already told me.
Yes, I just got through telling you something. I just told you something about Gail here. I told you something bad about her. I mean, it's terrible. She's divorced her husband. It's terrible. I just told you something bad about Gail. Now, what should you say?
Well,
whether you said out loud or not, what should you say to yourself? What should be your attitude about it?
That you don't really know if that's true or not, so not to judge them.
That's pretty good. I'll give you another try. That's 70. That's passing. I'll give you another try. That you don't know whether it's true or not, and you shouldn't judge them. That's good. But there's something even better than that.
Not to hold it against them.
There's something even better than that. You know what it is? What? Gail said, go, thank you. You made 7. You passed. Gail said that tell him that person's a friend of yours, he shouldn't talk about him. There's still something holier in the world off than that. Right. That's the answer. You make 100. That's the answer. If somebody tells you something about a friend, you ought to say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, I think if you say we shouldn't discuss it, and I think that we shouldn't talk about it, that's good. But I think you should be the kind of friend that when someone says something about a friend, you should not believe. You don't have to say it to them, so I don't believe it. You can if you want to. It might be well. But I think it's a good idea in your own mind to say immediately yourself, I just do not think it's true. This is all review, of course. All right? I need a boy. John, come on up here. I'll read it once and then read it again to you. A friend is going to apply for a job and you see that his shoes are not shining. A friend is going to apply for a job and on his way to apply for the job, you notice that his shoes are not shining. I said a friend... you're his friend. I'm going over here to Minus Company to apply for a job, and on my way I stop by and see you and talk with you for a minute, and I say, I'm going right now to talk to the personnel manager, and you look down and my shoes are in terrible condition, and I'm your friend. What should you do?
Well, I can't do anything, but I...
All right. Oh, what did you say?
Oh, if you're my friend, then I'd... mention to you that your shoes aren't shiny, it might make a better impression.
Yeah, tell me how you do it. Just say, Brother Hiles, did you notice? Just go ahead.
Brother Hiles, don't you think you'd make a little better impression on the employer if your shoes were shined a little better?
Oh, well. yeah.
Right? Since you're my friend.
That's right. Ex-friend? right. That's it. That's it. If he's your friend. Okay. Now let's get on to the next one. Let's see. Dick, come on up here. This is the twin question of that one. Suppose this friend is just visiting you, and his shoes are not shining. What should you do or say?
He's just visiting.
He just came by for a social visit.
He's not going to get a job right here?
Not unless you want him to. he hadn't planned on it.
Well, in that case, I don't think you should tell his shoes and that stuff. His shoes are busy.
I see. Then you think you ought to if he's going to a job, but if he's not going to get a job, if he just came for a social visit, you should not tell him his shoes are dirty. Is that right? Why?
Well, if he's going to get a job, then if his shoes are shiny, it would depend on whether he... It may depend either way whether he gets the job or not.
Right.
Clean. But if he's just coming to visit you, then he's your friend and he's coming to visit you because he wants to, not because he wants your advice.
Right. He can be your friend with dirty shoes, but he can't get the job with dirty shoes, probably. Is that right? That's right. Okay, very good. Very good. All right, Charles Foreman, come to the platform, please. This is a good one. Yeah. Your grandmother calls and wants to take you to the zoo and you're 14 years old. I tell her, the situation is your grandmother calls and wants to take you to the zoo and you're 14 years old.
I tell her I'd be glad to go.
Very good. Very good. And what are you? And when you get there, what are you going to act like?
A 14-year-old.
What should you act like?
Well,
I don't think anybody anywhere ought to ever act like a 14-year-old. Not even a 14-year-old.
No, I'd act like as if I was enjoying it.
Right. That's exactly so. Very good. Would you enjoy yourself with Chip at the Zoo?
I love
the Oh, that's fine. Okay, good. All right. Very good. Very good. You say, where's that in the Bible? We discussed it one Wednesday night about what kind of a grandchild you ought to be and how you ought to treat your grandmother and your grandfather. Okay? Let's see how we can do with another one here. Okay, give me the next girl. The next girl. Silvo, Cindy? All right, let's see. You are a junior high school student, and the conversation is trigonometry. What should you do? You are a junior high school student, and the conversation is trigonometry. What should you do? Yeah. Well, so then you should what? Huh? Yeah, right. Keep quiet. Keep your big mouth shut. That's right. Just like you were doing then. All right. That's right. Now, what do we learn about this, young people? We learned that if you're talking to people who are superior to you on a certain subject, it's best for you to let them carry the conversation. Did we not? Okay. Here's the next one. Okay. Let's draw. Along the same line, but not exactly the same answer, you are a young preacher in the presence of a more experienced preacher, and a layman asks you a question about prophecy. You are a young preacher in the presence of a more experienced preacher, and a layman comes up while the two of you are talking and asks you a question about prophecy.
I think I asked the more experienced preacher what he thought about.
Exactly so. Or a little bit better than that, instead of asking the preacher, you could ask the... Suggest that the layman ask the preacher because he's more qualified. Very good. Fine. Okay. Then that's right. Why? What did we learn about that? Well, we ought to respect our elders and certainly folks with more experience. And so if let's suppose Frank, that you and I were talking here and somebody came up and said, Frank, what do you think about the Great Tribulation period? Then you could say, well, look, here's Brother Hiles. He knows more about it than I do. And ask him. Suppose, on the other hand, that I were standing here, and let's say that Dr. Rice and I were together, and you came up and asked me about what I think about the tribulation. Then I, in courtesy of Dr. Rice and respect for his age and experience, I should say, why don't you ask Dr. Rice about that? Because I think perhaps he's more qualified to answer. All right? Let's see. Give me the next girl here. Okay. You are a senior in high school and do not know what college to attend. What do you think you ought to do?
Well, if I was a Christian, I would certainly think about going to Christian college, and I'd consult my parents.
All right. What you're saying is that if you did not know what college to attend, you would certainly ask for some advice from your parents, your pastor, or other people that would help you. Is that right?
Yes.
Exactly so. Because there's great wisdom in a multitude of what? Counselors. In fact, any time you have a serious decision to make, you ought to seek counsel. Is this not true? I'd like to make this statement. I'd like to talk personally. I'm not going to make you do it. But I'd like to have, between now and May 30th, a private conference with every high school senior. And I'd like to do at your convenience sometime during the year, just to call me and say, Brother Hiles, when could I talk with you? I'm a high school senior. I'd like to talk with you. And I'd like to have a private conference with every high school senior in our church during the year So if you would like, I hope you will. I won't bite you head off. I won't hurt you. I'd like to ask if you have any questions, anything I could help you with. Every high school senior. And so if you don't know what to do about any subject, of course, you ought to seek counsel and help. What's your name? Okay, fine. Okay. Now then you think it is not always wrong to wear a leather jacket?
No, not all the time.
Would it be wrong, do you think, to wear a leather jacket to church?
If it's like one of these motorcycle ones. You know.
Well, at least it would not be wise, maybe. It may not be a sin. Mm-hmm. Suppose it's all a fellow had to keep himself warm, he wore a leather jacket. Would that be a sin?
No.
No. So it wouldn't always be a sin. But let's suppose a fellow has better clothing. Should he wear the leather jacket to church, do you think?
No.
Even if it weren't a sin, it certainly would not be good taste. There was a fellow came to me not long ago, and he wore a leather jacket to church, and he said, "You don't like this leather jacket, do you?" And I said, I like it. I wish I had one. And he said, "You don't think I ought to have it on that, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "That's the way with you Christians. You're an era." I said, "Suppose that you were out here playing a football game, and I came out to play football with you, and I was going to play quarterback, and I wore a tuxedo." He said, "Wore what?" I said, "I came out and had a top hat and a cane and got the ball and threw back and threw a pass." And he said, "Well, you'd be out of place." I said, "You're out of place too. Dressing up, you see. The idea is being appropriate, isn't it?" Okay, thank you. That's good. And I was a little unfair to you because that's a tough question. I'm not against leather jackets. I'm not against tuxedos. I think you ought to know where to wear a leather jacket and where to wear a tuxedo, you see. Now, I'm using leather jackets rather often here, and I'm not opposed to them. I told this fellow that I told this. I said, "I wish I had one just like yours. I'd like to have it. It's very beautiful." And so, next time you see somebody in church in leather jackets, you shouldn't be unkind to them. It may be all they have, and that's fine. I think, though, after they've been here a while and learn a little bit about it, that's why I like to see these boys wearing ties, white shirts and ties, when they sing in the choir. It's not wrong to sing in the choir wearing a polo shirt, but a boy ought to learn where to wear a polo shirt and where to wear a white shirt and a tie. To be appropriate is very important. Well, you say, "What difference it make?" Yeah, none to you, but I think it ought to. I don't think it's a sin. I do think that it's right to be appropriate. And I'll tell you one thing. What a fellow wears tells more about what a fellow is than you know. Really does. Anybody got a leather jacket on tonight anywhere in the crowd? I hope nobody has. Nope. I don't know who it is, but I'm not looking wherever it is. Because I'm against motorcycles, but I voted to send one to a missionary one time. And okay. Now I think I ought to be plain about that. Some of you fellas tonight have sweaters on and no ties, and you're certainly not out of place. I do think that on Sunday you'd come if you had it. I'm an old corn-fed fellow. I used to go to church barefooted when I was a kid. If I'd had shoes, I'd have worn them. And after I got shoes, I was barefooted half the time when the shoes wore through. But I do think that it's good for our boys to know how our children know how to dress and so forth. Okay, enough of that. I'm getting deeper the longer I go. Let's go to the next one. Okay, girl on the end over here. I've got a good one for you. Okay. An old person is boring you to tears talking about the good old days. Be careful. You're walking on eggshells. An old person is boring you to tears talking about the old days. Huh? You'd listen? Interestedly? Is that what you do around the house? Your father talks about the old days? That's not what you do. But the reason is your father's not a what?
Amen.
Not a what? I said not a what.
Amen.
Okay, go back to your seat. Right. I gave her a way out, but she did not take it. Okay, I need a girl. Give me the next one. The sixth berry. Miss Duxbury, you get married, and the only apartment you can afford is a run-down, beat-up apartment. What are you going to do?
Well, I'd
Well, I'd take the apartment and try to make the best I have.
You mean you wouldn't complain about it?
Well, no, I wouldn't make a big scene about it.
You'd make a little scene about it. Would you say, well, everybody else has a nicer place, and why can't we get something nicer? Would you do that?
No.
If you did, would you be right in doing it?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Then what should you do? If it's all you can afford, it's a beat-up, old, run-down thing, but it's all you can afford, what should you do?
Well, I would take it and try to do the best for what I have.
Right. You'd scrub the walls, mop the floor, make it as clean as possible and as nice as possible. What do you think would be good to help an apartment like that? First to get it clean, and what else?
Well, you keep the house clean. Well, you'd have things in the house.
Yeah, right. Sure. You want to sweep some things out, but you'd have flowers and make the house have a personal look and so forth. You can do a lot with a little if you really work at it. Okay, thank you. Okay. Give me the next boy. Right here. Either one of you. That's good. Come on. All right. You work for a company and have a chance for a promotion to transfer to another city for twice the present pay. You work for a company and you have a chance to transfer to another city with doubling your salary. What should you do?
Well, I'd take it.
Oh, yeah? Are you a spiritual young man?
Yes, sir.
Are you honest?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go back to your seat. Okay, Cunningham. You work for a company and have a chance for promotion to transfer to another city for twice the pay. There's a quick way you can get back to your seat.
Well, if there was a Bible-believing church in the neighborhood, and, you know, right where you live, you shouldn't move away from it.
No. You asking or telling?
Telling.
Okay. Go ahead. What are you going to do?
Shouldn't take it.
You shouldn't take it. I think your answer is right. You shouldn't take it just because there's more pay. What do you really think you'd do about it, though? What do you think, young people? Yes, you should pray about it. But should you pray about it anymore because the pay is more?
No,
right. The pay should not enter into it. The question is, should I go? Does God want me to go? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very fine. You thought the same thing, didn't you? Sure you did. That's right. He was going to pray about it after he got there. I'll say this, son. You may not answer that question right, but you're in the majority, I'll tell you for sure. You got more friends out here than Cunningham has. Okay. Let's see. Mr. Olson, you're on the end there, mighty convenient. While he's coming, I'll read the question. Your dad... here's a good one. Your dad doesn't shine his shoes or press his pants. Funny how the Lord just has these appropriate. Your dad doesn't shine his shoes or press his pants. He wears baggy trousers and dirty shoes. What should you do about it?
Well, maybe...
That's a hard question. Well, John, where are you? Go ahead and tell him.
I think someday if he wasn't home, I'd take him to the cleaner or something, get him fresh and clean.
That's a good answer. Not the one I had in mind, but someday when he wasn't at home, you'd... But... what if you only have one pair of pants? Oh, your answer is good. The answer was that someday when he wasn't home, and when he wasn't home, what could you do to his shoes? That's a good answer. I think that's 101, don't you? Thank you. That's real good. Has he ever done that? Yeah? actually, the answer I had was that you should not tell him about it. You should not tell him about it. It's up to the dad to rear the child, not the child to rear the dad. However, I do think that, that his answer was a good one, don't you? That maybe he could be a help, shine his dad's shoes, and get the trousers pressed, and so forth. Very good answer. All right. Okay. I need a girl. Miss Culver. Here's the question. You are going with a boy and find that he drinks. I mean liquor. So funny.
Well, I'd quit him.
You'd quit him. Okay, that's good. Immediately?
Well, I'd tell him why, I guess.
Yes, but you would... Okay, now suppose that the next week he comes to the altar and gets right.
Well, then I'd pray about it before I went back to him.
You'd pray about it. Would you think at all that you ought to consider going back to him immediately?
No.
That's a good answer. Thank you. Right. If she finds out the boy drinks and she had no idea before, she should break off all relationship with the boy. Then if he gets right the next Sunday night, she shouldn't take him back as soon as the service is over. She ought to wait until he proves himself, if ever. But definitely she ought... In the first place, there's something worse about that than drinking. If you know Miss Coburg like I do, you know that what she thinks about drinking, and if the boy hasn't told you, he's crooked. He's deceitful. Because he's trying to hide it from you, you see. And the right kind of a girl, a boy will know she doesn't go with folks who drink and he's deceitful. So probably it's best to forget him, even though he gets right the next Sunday until he has time to prove himself. All right? Give me a boy off the front row here. Let's take the first one right here on the front row. And the question is, a man stops you on the road, coming home from school, and says your dad sent him to get you. A man stops you on the road, coming home from school, and says, and you don't know the fella. He says, your dad told me to come take you home from school today. What should you do?
I shouldn't do it.
You shouldn't do it. All right. What if he says, now look, now your dad said that your dad's in the hospital, and they rushed him to the hospital right quickly, and they told me to come and get you. Would you think you ought to get in the car with him?
No.
You should not. What if the fella were to get out of the car and start coming to you?
Away.
I suggest you run, right. Running or walking. I think running. Okay, very good. That's right. You get that? Boys, girls, you get that? Same thing for girls. I don't care if he tells you that he's pastor of a certain church. If you do not know who he is, don't you even get close to him. And look, if he comes up to you and starts talking, don't you even let him get close to you talking to you. If you don't know who he is, just do not let any stranger talk to you if you do not know who he is. All right? Brother Terry? You are told by a fellow worker that your boss isn't fair.
Honestly, this is what I'd say. I'd say, friend, you don't know what you're talking about. He's the fairest man I know.
Oh, bless you, my boss. Well, to say the least, you shouldn't talk about your boss, should you?
Right.
That's right. You get that? All of you? Get that? Okay, fine. Loyalty to your superiors is something we've learned on Wednesday night. Okay? See who's available here. Okay, just give me the next fellow. Hello, sir? You ask a question, and you do not know the answer, but you do not want to appear you don't know the answer. That's a tough one. In fact, you just got... You're doing it right now, aren't you? He's just got to ask a question. He doesn't know the answer.
Tell him you don't know the answer, or you try to find out from someone.
But the question is, you are asked a question, and you do not know the answer, but you don't want to appear you don't know it. Would you like to guess? That's, what you said is good. There might be one way out of it. We discussed one Wednesday night just briefly. Can you think? What is it? What? Say only what you know about it, that's for sure, but that may be nothing. Frank Carl says you can change the subject. Yeah, but Frank, finding a subject you know something about is a real problem. All right. Anybody else have a suggestion? I think what she's saying is right. I think it's what I'm looking for. If someone asks you a question, you don't know the answer, but you don't want them to know, then you might say, well, look, let me ask you this. You know about that, Nighty. What do you think about that? You see? And then you can throw the question back to them. I do that so often. Thank you. That was a tough question. So often I do that. Just throw the question right back to them. They say, what about so-and-so? What do you think the cosine or the cotangent is on the square of the hypotenuse? Now, listen, Master, you know that better than I. What do you think about that? You see? And then the question is back in their lap. All right. I need a young man. Let's see. I'll come down. Which one's next? All right, good. Mr. Douglas, you come up here. Your father passes away, leaving your mother without a living. What should you do?
Well, I'd try to get some kind of work, maybe paper out of something.
That's a good answer. I think I should change the question. You are grown, married, have a family. Your father passes away, leaving your mother without a living.
I think I'd try to take her into my own family.
Take in your own family? But what would you do whether you took in your family or not? At least you'd see to it what?
That she was taken care of.
Well, what if your wife didn't think you ought to?
I'd do it anyway.
You'd do it anyway. Ah, the single man. I mean, your wife nags and says, well, I need that for me. You'd go ahead and help your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sure you would?
Mm-hmm.
You think this is the right thing to do?
Yes, sir.
All of you fellows think that's the right answer? Okay, thank you. Very good. Very good. All right. This young lady right here. Come on. Okay. Arveda Patton. Arveda, your mother-in-law is left without a living. What, as the daughter-in-law, should be your attitude?
Accept her as if she were my own mother in the same situation.
All right. How would you accept your own mother in the same situation? If she was left without a living now, she didn't have any money, didn't have any way to live, what would you do with your own mother?
Well, if my husband had the chance to provide for her, I'd make certain she had the same conveniences that I have.
Uh-huh. If your husband had the chance to provide for her, now elaborate on that just a minute. Miss Patton, I'm trying to help you out here. She's sweating.
I mean, if my husband was out of work or something, and I knew that he didn't have any means and it wasn't his fault, I wouldn't try to heckle him until he did.
I see. Well, I suppose your mother, though, has no way of support.
I just make sure she had the same conveniences that
you
I
You see, too, that she had what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing yourself to even go to work to help support your mother?
Definitely.
You would do that? Okay. But now, what if your mother-in-law was in this shape? That'd be a little worse, wouldn't it? I mean, after all, it's not your mother, it's your husband's mother. What would you do? Would you be gracious, you think?
I should.
You should, all right. You'd be gracious about it then?
I'd try my best.
You'd try your best, and you'd feel that you should be willing to let your husband share some of his money with his mother.
Yes.
Now, what philosophy is behind this? Why should a fellow provide for his aged mother?
Well, she was his mother before I was his wife.
She was his mother before his wife, but there's no more than that to it. She did something else before, a long time before something, too.
If she hadn't given birth to him, I wouldn't have him.
If she hadn't given birth to him, you wouldn't have him. That's a great statement. Ah. You're always blaming somebody else for your troubles, aren't you? All right? But there's something else. There's something about why should he take care of her when she's old? I'm trying to give you a hint. Why should he take care of her when she's old?
Because she took care of him.
Right. She took care of him when he was young. Thank you so much. Now, I'll say this. If the young people will do what we've learned in Proverbs, it'll make new kids out of them. It'll make better adults out of them. And I hope that you adults, too, have listened intently and carefully, because the story was, remember, that the Proverbs was written to young people, but that the adult who is what? Wise will also listen. Okay, that means that maybe you have an aged mother or father. Maybe you've been this kind of a nagging wife and your mother-in-law need a little support. Maybe you've not been doing things that you ought to do properly, and maybe you've learned tonight and through the Proverbs. I hope God will help us to do it. Now then, one other question. Let's see. All of you can answer this. It's business meeting night, and the pastor says we have to have business meeting. What kind of spirit are you supposed to have?
Happy.
Very good. And those that are old will learn also from... So we'll have the reading of the minutes, please.